Hey. So, you ready to go, man?
Not yet. Have you seen my phone?
What do you need your phone for?
What if somebody tries to call me?
Dude, we're heading down to the store. We're not gonna do anything else. We're just gonna go grab some stuff real quick for the game. Come on, let's just go.
I'm not going anywhere. I gotta find my phone. Do me a favor. Can you call it?
You're serious? Seriously, dude, it's like 5 minutes. We're gonna be down.
No, I need the phone. Dude, I can't do it. I can't leave the house without the phone.
You're kidding me. You are totally kidding me, right?
No. It's like an addiction. I can't shake it. I don't know what to do.
Phone separation anxiety is a real problem in America. If you or someone you know has problems separating themselves from their phones, chances are they are suffering from lacophonitis, a mental issue based on current needs to know what is happening on social media or who won that last football game. But there is a cure. It's called Let Me Borrow Your Phone Now, an oral remedy shown to strain friendships but provide comfort, and in return, good karma for you.
Jeez, I don't...
Dude, okay, guys, you know what? Here, borrow my phone. It's fine.
Are you serious? Oh, thank you.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue. Today I'm going to talk about something that is literally by my side day in and day out. We all have one. And, you know, there used to be a point in time where I couldn't really picture, you know, the crazy thing was when I was growing up, you know, all through the 80s and 90s and stuff like that, it's, you know, probably the earlier parts of both, it never really dawned on me that, you know, if somebody had to call me or something like that, I could get back to them. Or, like, you know, when I was still at home, mom and dad would let me know, hey, somebody called, that sort of thing. Or you took messages, you had voicemail machines, that sort of thing. And I know that, you know, for all the stuff that we have, a lot, you know, the vast majority, I think a good majority, not the vast, but a good majority of people have smartphones now, whether it be Androids or iPhones or whatever. And it really struck me today that for a long time I had been struggling to try and get some form of organization. And I know I'd covered this before in a previous podcast, and I had some hints and tips in there. But the biggest thing was that I found that it actually went, it's kind of weird that I can't believe that sometimes whenever I go somewhere, and I never thought I'd be that sort of, I mean, I'm the kind of person that embraces tech. I love it. You know, I mean, think about it. I'm sitting right now here in my studio. I've got monitors, a microphone. I'm recording a podcast. I've got all kinds of stuff around me. And one of the things is that, you know, above and beyond all of these things is my phone. It allows me to be connected on a whole bunch of levels. And even as a kid, growing up watching Star Trek and seeing the amazing things a tricorder could do, and then moving forward into even the next evolution, which was in the Next Generation Star Trek, even those things didn't really do all, or maybe they did and they just never touched on it. But, you know, I have no idea what, I'm certain there's some Star Trek fan out there that could probably fill me in on all of that sort of thing. My mom would probably know that sort of stuff. She was a huge Trekkie. But, you know, looking at my phone, I'm just kind of swiping back and forth on all the different things. And it's interesting, during the time that I did and had helped some groups out with app development and understanding that sort of stuff, both when I was at Hallmark and working independent freelance, it was interesting to see what sort of things people would put on their phones. And I mean, I've got everything on my own phone, from like note taking to this, and this will also probably be a little bit of a bump for whatever sort of apps are out there that I really like. Some of the top ones on here, I have one called A-Tracker that I use, and the initial setup is a little tricky because you have to go in and set what sort of things you want to keep track of. And I'm not really a fan of tracking all my time when I'm at a job. I have many reasons why that sort of thing drives me nuts. But never mind the fact, you know, that most of that stems from me disliking the concept of micromanagers. But I digress. With this, it's kind of weird that You know, this software, A-Tracker, this app, you basically enter in stuff. And so I've got different things on there, like, okay, I've spent this much time working on a podcast, or I've spent this much time working on a website, or these sort of things. I've actually found that although it was a little bit of a hassle to set up at first, I quickly got into the rhythm of creating and working with my stuff. And before I knew it, I was absolutely sticking to certain amounts of time that I was spending. And I could look back over the course of the week and understand what I had done. Believe me, when I was building this studio, that was a huge thing. I could actually look back at it and go, wow, I spent 55 hours this week putting up the drywall or painting or doing these sort of things, you know, and what the cumulative effort was. One of the other things that goes hand in hand with it is this other one I had called Wunderlist. And it's a little expensive in that it's $4.99 a month, but I found it worthwhile for the full version, if only because of the fact that it works across platform and you can add as many people as you want on there, you know, to you know, for team projects and this sort of thing. And one of the best parts about it was, you know, that you can, it's basically a list making app, but it's one of the most robust ones I've ever seen, in that you can customize the lists endlessly and make sublist within sublist and add, you know, all sorts of things, you know, like JPEGs and stuff directly from your phone, which came in invaluable when I was doing not only like budgeting for groceries, but also for trying to figure out, oh, hey, there was a sale on this, or there's a particular item that maybe I didn't have the money at that time for, but I'd make a checklist and set a reminder for myself to come back and pick that particular tool or art supply up whenever I needed it. It also helped me start keeping track of some of my collection, which, as any of you that follow me know, I'm something of an incurable collector, and everything from toys, video games, books, all these other things started coming together. It also helps me remember things like the medications for my dogs and cats, or, you know, if there's anything like that, or all that sort of thing. I know, there's probably a lot of you out there that use Google Calendar or any number of other things that I've never been able to use that. I have never used anything that has worked with my email. I've worked plenty of places where my bosses and even the whole social stratagem there was like, no, you got to use Outlook Express and get this going this way. I could never get it to work. And for my own personal usage, for some reason, I tend to think in siloed areas. So an app just is easier for me. And of course, I got the other standard things on here, you know, that are, some of them are kind of funny. Like, I break down my stuff into different things like social media and games and stuff, and like, most of my games are pretty light and quick stuff. I mean, and I'm a bit of a Nintendo nerd, so of course I've got Pokemon Go and Miitomo. Yes, I'm actually still playing that. And yes, I don't even know how somebody could find me on there. But I'm also on Mario Run and an older game called Campers, which is just kind of a little busybody game. It's probably going to get outdated here very soon because they've stopped support on it. And then a brilliant game with a little bit of a clunky interface, Never Alone, which deals with, I believe it's the Inuit tribes. Anyway, gorgeous game, wonderful story, and from what I understand on other platforms, fantastic, like on the Xbox. As far as other things that have helped me out, some of the other stuff is just, you know, having the ability to be able to Google and look at anything. I mean, let's think about this for a moment. The real magnitude of this is that a few years ago, we'd have to rely on things like telephone books or actually sit down at a computer and that sort of thing. I mean, my very first cell phone was, it was a Nokia. It was the old Nokia that had, like, the only game on it, I think, was Snake or something like that. Just a normal numeric, you know, pad, you know, 1 through 0, and then pound and hashtag or whatever, and then what it had, like, oh man, I know, you know what, it's so weird, I collect tech all the time, and I know I've got that damn thing stored somewhere, but I remember the charge time wasn't that great, you know, you only had so many minutes. In fact, my very first cell phone was through a company called Ameritech Cellular, and that was in my old hometown of Warrensburg, and this was, oh my god, this had to have been like 1989, 1990, and I was obsessed. I think part of it was because, this is going to sound so stupid, I think I was obsessed when I was a kid with how cool, like, high-tech cars were, you know, like, you know, the DeLorean in Back to the Future, or, you know, Kit from Knight Rider, which technically I actually liked Car, the evil one, but my point was they had all this tech and all these things inside the vehicles, and I had always wanted to have something like that. I guess my mentality was something of a futurism sort of thing. At any rate, I remember that the only way to get a phone was you had to go to a dealer, and you got, I think it was something like, I'm not even joking, I think it was something like 90 minutes a month. And that might even be exaggerating on that. It may have been something like 30. For some reason, 30 is sticking in my head. It was $19.99 a month for like 30 minutes or 90 minutes was one of the two. And it was this weird, it wasn't even a bag phone. This one, it like had this metal arm that attached and like it screwed into the actual base next to, it was on the floor. You can have it installed anywhere. But then there was this huge honking phone with this curled cord, and it, all the numbers were actually on the back part of it, and it had like this weird monochrome thing, and I think it could store 9 numbers, because you use the 1 or those for speed dialing, you know, 1 through 9, and then 0 was always operator, or it went to the Ameritech cellular operator. And I, you know, you only had so much signal on it. It functioned very much like the later form Nokias and flip phones that came out, but I didn't have to worry about battery power just so long as my car battery kept on running or that sort of a thing. And it's crazy to think that I can remember when I got that was about the exact same time, maybe about a year or two after. Let me step back a moment. A year or two before I got that phone was when I started my website, back when it wasn't MarioMora.net, it was WraithStudios.com. That was the initial version of it. That was way back when GeoCities was still around, before Yahoo came in and it became Yahoo GeoCities or whatever. It was just GeoCities.com. And then they had the little neighborhoods, and I was like Area 51, and I've got that information somewhere. But, I mean, you think about that. I mean, holy crap, that's such a weird thing to think. Okay, now I've got apps on here. Like, I've got an app that allows me to pay my phone bill directly to T-Mobile. I've got, you know, games on here. I've got the weather. I've got maps. I've got, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And it blows my mind how, especially as a working artist, you know, or any kind of working professional, really. I mean, there's people I know that live in, die by their phone. And like now I've gotten to the point, not just because of Pokemon Go, but I do have a spare battery. And like my case is actually a battery that provides me with an additional 8 hours, you know, of, you know, time, because I'm never sure when clients are going to need me or that sort of thing. And that sort of, you know, that's a really important thing. And I've seen people at other places, like, you know, VPs and those important sort of people that their face practically has a rectangular imprint on the side of their head from how much they're talking on the phone. You see that, and there's a couple of hipsters that I see on occasion around town that are walking around, and they got their phone blasting music like it's their own personal soundtrack. And I'm not making fun. I'm simply an observation, because I'm certain I look just as much like an idiot walking around playing Pokemon Go. And not just because, you know, you're staring at your phone looking for imaginary creatures, which, you know, hey, I'm not one to knock it. I love the game. I kind of wish they'd hurry up with Gen 2, though. Niantic. You know? Getting a little boring hunting for these rats and Pidgeys. Anyway, I digress again. So, this was just a little kind of fun thing where I was just looking at my phone while I was working on stuff and thinking about that, and it is odd. It's really strange. I have done without my phone. I've had to shut it down a couple times when I was in between jobs or that sort of thing. It's a very odd thing, because I will say this much. It's no different than, like, recently my computer was in the shop, and a buddy of mine, Matt, over at B-Squared Computers, incredible guy. If you're ever in the Knob Noster, Missouri area, go to his shop. Not only does he sell really cool stuff there, but the dude is a complete and total wizard with computers. And if he doesn't know exactly what to do, he will find out. He is absolutely one of the coolest cats I've ever met. So anyway, the point is that when I didn't have my computer and it was being worked on and this sort of thing, I was stunned by how much I was able to kind of almost get back into a retro mode of like, well, I've got these other things to do. Now, that's not saying that I didn't need my computer. That's not saying anything like that. Absolutely. I was trying to get it fixed. I was trying to get it worked on. I was trying to get all these things taken care of because the computer has become such a completely necessary part of my life. This phone is a miniature computer. We know this. I mean, you're walking around with practically the world. I mean, I think it's Aziz Ansari that basically made the joke of like, why would anyone want to be mad whenever you've got every song and every movie in this world is free right now via your phone, whether it's Netflix or Amazon or whatever. You have all this entertainment in a tiny little box right here in your pocket, you know? And I guess the thing that hit me today was it's amazing how much, as an artist, and I can only tell you from an artist's perspective, not only from the organizational stuff and, of course, the recreational aspect of it, but reference. I have gigabytes of information, of reference photos, quick little thumb sketches I've done and drawing programs on it, ideas, voice memos. Even, you know, if I don't have this huge setup like I have right here in my studio, you know, to record, unless I have it on my phone. And I have a small microphone I plug in, and it allows me to be able to do some, you know, voice acting if need be, which some professionals have even done for auditions and that sort of thing. You'd never want to do a full-on role like that. You want to have a good microphone set up or something like that. But if I'm sitting there, like, you know, and it's happened before, I'll pull over, you know, I won't do this when I'm driving because, you know, I'll suddenly have this character, you know, I'll be sitting there, maybe I'm and there's something about my voice or something that makes me start thinking of, you know, a voice or something I could do, and it starts going into something more. That kind of a stuff, you know, I'm not going to be able to remember that. I, there is a certain cadence and a rhythm that you can remember, but there's also something to be said about being able to not only remember, oh my God, I gotta go pick up bread and milk afterward, or, you know, something like that, but just even how you say it, because, you know, maybe there's something about the voice that would end up working that if you did it right then and there, you'd be able to remember by playing it back later, because if not, it's gonna go in a different way, and you're not gonna be able to get that same thing back. And I've saved some like that for different auditions and different things I tried, and I remember probably the reason why this is something that hit me, and it was because I was trying to rework one of my demo reels right now, and I remember that every single time, this is when I was still doing quite a bit of voice work for Hallmark, there was a lot of auditions, and for a while there was this run for about 9 months where there was a lot of auditioning for these different zones, and I recall that there was all these different like elf characters and these different fantasy characters, and I was always so nervous because I didn't really have a sounding board to say it, but then understand, and I wanted to do the best I could before I got in there, and one of the voice artists that I look up to, Steve Bloom, he famously was quoted as having said, you know, the audition is the job. And so I guess my point is that out of all the things that's happened, I've found myself back in the phone in a way by being able to record myself and become more comfortable with my own voice, my own vocal range, and what I can do on there. And I'm still experimenting. I'm very much a neophyte in a lot of ways to this. But the good thing is that I can get these voices down quickly, and I can experiment, and it can even be ideas or a joke or something like that. I wish I'd had these sort of tools available to me, and I believe that when I was doing a lot of app development, I realized through some studies and interactions with people that the average person probably only uses about 30% of the capabilities of their phone. I mean, there's still people out there that, you know, God bless them, they don't even know how to get the pictures off the phone, you know, like downloading via data cable or anything else like that. It's just, they don't. And so as I was remembering this, I was thinking about, like, you know, the different auditions I'd have, getting back to that, and how I'd record different versions of a character. And, like, there were elves and things like that. Those were the primary ones I did for Hallmark. And some of them, I know that, like, the Hallmark, the engineers, a couple buddies of mine that worked up there, the sound designers, brilliant guys, you know, they really, what they do is they take your voice, like my normal voice like this, and then they would pitch it up or do different things to it, so there were different effects. And that allowed me to understand what the inflections would be. And sometimes you could take software on the phone or whatever, and, you know, there's really crazy ones out there that allow you to pitch it up, pitch it down, do all kinds of stuff like that. You can basically do a lot of things on there. And I didn't have to, I could speak in a normal voice like this. So if I said, oh, look, there's Santa Claus over there, I could say that in a normal voice, as opposed to having to, you know, pitch it my own way and go, oh, look, there's Santa Claus over there, and having to go that route with it. Now, at the same time, it also allowed me to be able to experiment like that and try it. And I think the reason they did it was to give it more of an equal playing field for people that were auditioning, because maybe they were really good actors, but they couldn't get the inflections whenever they needed to do these sort of characters and voices and that sort of thing. And maybe they would end up finding out that if they were going to do that, that they didn't really know how to keep going with the character. Because when you're doing a character, unless you're doing a lot of practice with it, and unless you're really careful and you're really practicing, you're really warming up your own throat, you don't really know where it's going to go.
And see, like, even after a little while, my own voice is starting to wear out. But it's been a long day. At any rate, so this is a kind of a long podcast. I'm looking at my runtime right now. It's just about 20 minutes. So I've got some new updates on the website. Please check that out. The new studio is up and running. There's still some more. There's plenty of things I've still got to get finished with this sort of thing, with my studio. And so I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for the people that have checked out Patreon, for other people that have helped me out. I know somebody else said, why are you thanking people all the time? Because if I don't thank people, I don't want to sound disingenuous, but I've had a lot of help over the years getting to where I am now. And I'm very grateful for that. And I'm hoping that in some way I can pay back it by being, you know, as creative and as, you know, produce as much stuff as I possibly can. And it's been frustrating sometimes for me. And there's been, you know, everybody goes through these things where my cat right now is trying to eat some tape. And, so I guess with that, that's my signal to go ahead and stop this podcast before my cat chokes on some tape. Anyway, thank you again for listening. You can check me out on www.theartisanrogue.com. You can find me on Twitter at @theartisanrogue. And you can also find me on Patreon as The Artisan Rogue. So until next time, thank you so much. Please be sure to support your local artists. Go to comic shows, do all that fun stuff, and I'll see you next time.